Number 1 Avenue de Marigny in Paris is a large square house of dark and venerable appearance. The mansion is on the corner where de Marigny crosses the Avenue Gabriel, a short block from the Champs-Élysées, and across the street from the Élysée Palace, which is the home of the President of France. Number 1 abuts on a glass-roofed courtyard, on the other side of which is a tall and narrow building, once the stables and coachman's quarters. On the ground level are still the stables, very elegant, with carved marble mangers and water troughs. But upstairs there are 3 pleasant floors, a small but pleasant house in the center of Paris. On the second floor, large glass doors open on the unglassed portion of the courtyard which connects the 2 buildings. It is said that number 1, together with its coach house, was built as the Paris headquarters of the Knights of St. John, but it is presently owned and occupied by a noble French family who, for a number of years, have leased the converted coach house, the use of the courtyard, and half of the flat connecting roof to Monsieur Pippin Arnouf Aristal and his family, consisting of his wife Marie and his daughter, Clotilde. Soon after leasing the stable house, Monsieur Aristal called on his noble landlord and requested permission to set up the base and mount for an 8-inch refracting telescope on the portion of the flat roof to which he had access. This request was granted, and thereafter, since Monsieur Aristal was prompt with the rent, intercourse between the 2 families was limited to formal greetings when they happened to meet in the courtyard, which was, of course, guarded by heavy iron bars on the street side. Aristal and landlord shared a concierge, a brooding provincial who, after years of living in Paris, still refused to believe in it. And there were never any complaints from the noble landlord, since Monsieur Aristal's celestial hobby was carried on at night and silently. The passions of astronomy, however, are no less profound because they are not noisy. The Aristal income was almost perfect of its kind for a Frenchman. It derived from certain eastward-facing slopes near Auxerre on the Loire, on which the vines sucked the benevolence from the early sun and avoided the poisons of the afternoon, and this, together with a fortunate soil and a cave of perfect temperature, produced a white wine tasting like the odor of spring wildflowers, a wine which, while it did not travel well, had no need, for its devotees made pilgrimage to it. This estate, while small, was perhaps the very best of a holding once very great. Furthermore, it was cultivated and nurtured by tenants expert to the point of magic, who, moreover, paid their rent regularly and had generation by generation. Monsieur Aristal's income was far from great, but it was constant, and it permitted him to live comfortably in the coach house of No. 1 Avenue de Marigny, to attend carefully selected plays, concerts, and ballet, to belong to a good social club and 3 learned societies, to purchase books as he needed them, and to peer as a respected amateur at the incredible heavens over the 8th arrondissement of Paris. Indeed, if Pippin Aristal could have chosen the life he would most like to live, he would have spoken, with very few changes, for the life he was living in February of 19-blank. He was 54, lean, handsome, and healthy in so far as he knew. By that I meant his health was so good that he was not aware he had it. His wife, Marie, was a good wife and a good manager who knew her province and stayed in it. She was buxom and pleasant, and under other circumstances might have taken her place at the bar of a very good small restaurant. Like most French women of her class, she hated waste and heretics, considering the latter a waste of good heavenly material. She admired her husband, without trying to understand him, and had a degree of friendship with him which is not found in those marriages where passionate love sets torch to peace of mind. Her duty, as she saw it, was to keep a good, clean, economical house for her husband and her daughter, to do what she could about her liver, and to maintain the spiritual payments on her escrowed property in heaven. These activities took up all her time. Her emotional overflow was absorbed by an occasional fight with the cook, Rose, and her steady warfare with the wine merchant and grocer, who were cheats and pigs, and at certain times of the year, ancient camels. Madame's closest friend, and perhaps only confidant, was Sister Hyacinthe, of whom there will be more later. Monsieur Héristal was French of the French, and yet French plus. For instance, he did not believe it was a sin not to speak French, and an affectation for a Frenchman to learn other languages. He knew German, Italian, and English. He had a scholarly interest in progressive jazz, and he loved the cartoons in Punch. He admired the English for their intensity and their passion for roses, horses, and some kinds of conduct. "An Englishman is a bomb," he would say, "but a bomb with a hidden fuse." He also observed, "Almost any generality one makes about the English turns out at some time to be untrue." And he would continue, "How different from the Americans they are."